Coffee with Cudmore.
Light 104.7 and 1570 AM. WVTL.
We welcome Del Gould to the program, who is an archaeologist. That's correct?
That's correct.
I was talking with my colleague, Dave Green, wondering if you'd be dressed like Indiana Jones. you aren't?
No, I am not.
Okay. But he did a lot for your field, didn't he?
Yes, I think so. Certainly brought it the field to a lot of people's attention, although his life is a lot more exciting than most, I would have to say.
I would see. Del Gould, Delanne Gould, works for LBG, the Lewis Burger Group. He was senior field supervisor on a dig right in Amsterdam. Yes, in our Amsterdam. This happened, last year?
The project's been ongoing for a while. We did our first excavations last summer, and then we came back to the site in mid-fall.
One question I never asked you, are you done?
Actually, no. The project is still ongoing. There's additional work to do at the site. Part of the process is that the project sponsor is the New York State Thruway Authority and New York State Canal Corporation, and they're required under state and federal law to investigate the project area if there's a proposed disturbance. In this case, it's the pedestrian bridge that they plan to build across the Mohawk River. Mm-hmm. If there's a proposed disturbance, then they need to do some level of archaeological investigation. Sometimes this can simply be research, determine that a project area has been significantly disturbed and there's really no opportunity for the preservation of archaeological mm-hmm. sites, and that would probably be the end of it. And it goes through a state process. Any decision like that is reviewed at the state level. Everyone sort of agrees that the process is concluded, and that's it. In other cases, we actually have to do some excavation. That's usually the case. We have to do at least some amount of excavation mm-hmm. to determine whether or not there is the potential for a preserved archaeological site.
So most of the time, a dig is done.
To some level, yes. Huh. In a lot of cases, this is done just with a shovel and what we call a screen. We dig a relatively small hole down to a depth where we reach essentially glacial age deposits. Sift the soil, see if there's anything in it. We do a systematic survey, mm-hmm. and that's usually what we do.
Now, if this were the military, are you like a sergeant? I mean, you would say, I work for a living. I mean, you actually get out there and get your hands dirty doing this?
Oh, very dirty.
Yeah, I see. But did you have other people working on this?
Yes. We have other supervisors, technicians, we call them field archaeologists, who worked as well. I sometimes do a lot of the work, but also have crew working for me as well.
So let me press again. I mean, so you might come back, dig more?
Yes, we expect to dig some more.
Okay.
Like I said, the work is not concluded on the site. Sort of going through the process, once we found the site, then what we do is we make a determination of eligibility. Eligibility means is it eligible, and what is it eligible for? The National Register of Historic Places. There are criteria that are issued by the National Park Service that determine whether or not a site is significant at the local or national level. And so there are criteria that we follow. And if a site meets those criteria, then it's determined to be eligible for that Register of Historic Places. I can't remember offhand if...
So what do you think, based on what you found? Do you think it's going that way?
Yes. We have made a determination that the site is eligible, and because the project is going forward, a portion of the site will be impacted by the bridge construction. That portion of the site has to be excavated prior to that construction under the regulations.
And that hasn't really happened yet?
I mean, that portion of the project has not happened yet. That is still to come.
You expect that will delay the project?
No. There should be no delay whatsoever.
Hmm. And again, you're the archaeologist, and there are certain things here that are kind of political and issues. And that's one of the cut-to-the-chase questions people have, because as you and I, well, we had several conversations before we did this interview, but I would have to say that the pedestrian bridge is rather a controversial project here in the Amsterdam area. Some want it, some don't. And some of those who want it, you know, say, oh, no, you know, it won't happen. And some who don't want it say, oh, maybe the archaeologists will hold this up.
No, actually, there should be no delays to the project construction schedule. Currently, the way that it's planned, there should not be any impact to the project schedule whatsoever.
And the other issue, again, we would welcome phone calls. We'll ask for them in a while. But you don't want to locate the site because, I don't know if they're for obvious reasons, but you don't want other people disturbing the site.
That's the case. And because the project, through the design process, the impact to the site will be minimized by the current design that they're going to go ahead with, much of the site will be preserved in place. The site is larger than what they're going to impact, so we're not going to dig the entire thing up. So a portion of it will be preserved, and that will remain there. And, one of the things that we don't want to do is pinpoint exactly where the site is, how big it is, so that people would go out and attempt to find things that they want to find or sell even.
Mm-hmm. Del Gould with us, archaeologist with the LBG Lewis Berger Group, the supervisor of the Amsterdam Dig, which you've named. You call it the Chuctanunda Terrace site?
It is the Chuctanunda Terrace site. That is the name that we've given it.
Now, we posted on our website a couple of the pictures that you were kind enough to share with me, and I hope to make use of them in a future project in a book I'm working on. But let's go to Exhibit A, and I don't know if people are watching. If you want to see this, it's on our website. If you can summon up the website where you're listening, if that's possible. If not, of course, we're going to try to make this as understandable as possible. But just for point of reference, there's a picture with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 objects. You know, they look to the untrained eye like arrowheads, but that's a story. They aren't all arrowheads. In fact, what do you call them?
Most of these would be considered dart points. Some of them may also have been used as knives or other cutting implements. But a dart is distinguished from an arrow in that there's no bow. There's a small, often called a spear thrower. Another name for it is an addle-addle that is an object with a hook at the back. The dart is loaded onto it, and essentially the other end is grasped, and it increases the length of the arm, and therefore the distance that the arm follows through increases the length of the throw. And that's essentially a technology that predates the bow and arrow.
Yeah. Well, in fact, that's another little detour. Like the bow and arrow, you were telling me, wasn't invented till X number of years ago, and some of these are pre-X.
Yes, that's correct. The first arrow points are probably about 1,500 years old in New York State. Before that, we're looking at mostly either darts, which were used in conjunction with an addle-addle, or thrown by hand.
A spear
that was thrown by hand.
Now, if I understand correctly, again, if people are looking at the picture, the object, really kind of one of the unassuming object in the upper left-hand corner, the one that's upper left, you believe is the oldest in the picture. How old is that?
About 5,000 years old. That's what we would refer to probably as a Brewerton corner notch. The reason why I say probably is that you can see a good example here is in the.
Could you put that in front of you so you can talk into the microphone?
Sorry. Am I kind of getting away a little bit? Yeah. The lower line of, and we refer to them sort of collectively as projectile points. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a catch-all phrase that way. They're part of a projectile system, and that way we don't get into the dart arrow thing, depending on, particularly if we don't know. Sometimes they're too fragmentary to tell, and so we just use this sort of catch-all term as projectile point. But the lower line there, those are all the same type, and as you can see, there's variability from one to the other. They don't all look exactly the same. Mm-hmm. So when you find a single projectile point like what we're referring to as this Brewerton corner notched in the upper left, there's some similarities with other types where it's not a sure thing.
Mm-hmm. But you're thinking
certainly.
That's 5,000 years old.
Yes. Oh, certainly we know the age.
How do you know that?
The type would be the question. Other sites have been excavated, radiocarbon dates, similar artifact forms. And once you've seen enough sites across in an area, a broad region, and all the dates are more or less in agreement or they show a range of dates – you can sort of take what you know to be sort of an indicator of that age like this, you don't necessarily have a specific date to associate with it from your site, but you know from other sites mm-hmm. that it's about that old.
Now, the history is becoming would say important up here. It's almost becoming an industry. And I always kind of define myself as I'm not a historian. I'm kind of a reporter, a popularizer, and so forth. So I glommed on to this 5,000-year-old thing, and I did ask you this question. What was happening in Egypt? And you said that's when they were starting to build pyramids 5,000 years ago.
Yes, that's correct.
So isn't that something? I mean, somebody in Amsterdam, or you know what we now call Amsterdam, is throwing this projectile point when they're making pyramids over in Egypt.
Oh, and certainly farther back as well, although we have no evidence from this site. We know from sites in the area that there were native peoples in the area of Amsterdam, certainly farther back than that.
But, and again, back to why you think this one is so old, you know, compared to the others. I mean, the others are old, too, but, you know, maybe we'll get to that. I mean, how old they are. But you've said it's a Brewerton corner. That's another dig in upstate New York someplace?
The Brewerton site, I believe it was the Brewerton site, is in central New York. The state archaeologist at the time, a man named Bill Ritchie, excavated it a number of years ago. And certainly he was responsible for a lot of the what we call projectile point typology. Mm-hmm. Essentially, he excavated a number of sites over the years and sort of established the culture history of the state in a lot of ways, certainly in a number of regions, by seeing these sequences of projectile points and how they changed over time, associated with radiocarbon mm-hmm. dates and other relative methods like stratigraphy. Younger mm-hmm. is usually on top of older in a soil profile, and sort of established the sequence, and then that's been added to by other archaeologists over the years, and the dates are more or less in agreement.
So you look at this and you say, and you can compare it to other sites or Brewerton Corner sites, and say, yeah, so that's one of the reasons you think it's so old.
Yes.
Okay. And another thing, how did they make it, the ancient people who were making this?
Generally, these are made of stone. There are some local sources of stone. Other examples here came from farther away. But certainly this is an area, some places in the country have relatively limited supplies of stone, and we see much less refined examples mm-hmm. Based on the quality of the stone. But there are reasonably good quality stone that was available to people here, and